Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Rooster Crows Podcast. My name is Tyler Campbell, and today we'll be hearing a live sermon by Reverend Roberta Howie from the Lawrence Park Church Sanctuary on a Sunday morning. Today's sermon is titled, Meditating on Manners.
One of the things I was noting, even as we're doing the reading, as we're doing the anthem, this has probably been the most number of times that we've used the term Lord in this sanctuary on a Sunday service in a hot minute, in a long time. Part of that is the traditional taze is done with older chants. They're older, they're Catholic, they're French. Not the most inclusive language in the entire world. But I wanted to keep them in there, partly because singing with a translation of changing Lord to God every time doesn't always keep the flow. And if we're going to sing it 20 times, I want to make sure that the flow works. And partly because, well, I want something to talk about and I want something to fight against. And sometimes that means that I have to leave the language as is. We see that with the scripture reading as well, where it's very clear and specific on who we need to invite, using language that may not be considered acceptable in 2025, and frankly, probably wasn't acceptable then either. And yet, to include that language is a reminder of what Jesus was fighting against. At no point did he say that anyone with a disability, that anyone who is oppressed, is considered lesser in his eyes, or in God's eyes, but is considered lesser in the eyes of society at large. So we got to fight that. We got to argue with that. That all being said, it being the end of August and it being an intense few weeks, I wanted to focus on a reading that ultimately was a little bit lighter, especially after Jeremiah. I'm tired of throwing prophets out of town. It's not often that we have Jesus giving lectures on etiquette, on manners. Etiquette and manners are a part of our lives that, frankly, if you are from maybe a different culture than the one with the manners in there, maybe you're neurodivergent and are struggling to find out why we do things certain ways, they don't make sense. They're silly. Whether someone has their elbows on the table, whether someone uses the right fork, whether someone sits at the right place at the table, doesn't really matter in a life or death situation. I remember being a child at daycare, and one of the things that they would do at lunchtime was make us practice our manners. We were a pack of hyenas. I'm sorry, that's the professional term, a pack of hyenas. And by the end of August, they realize they need to send us back to school with an understanding of how to function in society. So they start off early. You have your pleases and your thank yous. You have, chewing with your mouth closed, finishing the food on your plate, throw the garbage away, put the plate away. And if you put your elbows on the table to eat like so, they would make everyone around you sing while you stood up and walked around the table. Roberta, Roberta, if you're able, take your elbows off the table. This is not a horse's stable. I don't put my elbows on the table anymore. My therapist has something new to talk about. Elbows on the table, sitting at the right place, inviting the right people. I'm going to be honest, that doesn't matter. Like I said, in a life or death situation, that doesn't matter. When we talk about refugees and housing and racism and sexism, does it really matter if my elbows are on the table? Manners are a form of communication. They're a form of language. And there's two kinds. There's what I like to call the OSHA compliant ones, the safety ones, and then there's the social ones. There's the safety ones. You're going to hold the door for a person that maybe is not able to hold the door or offer a seat to someone that might need that seat for whatever reason. Maybe it is saying, excuse me, so that the person doesn't bump into you and cause a little crash. Those are very important ones in the name of safety. They are how we function to keep everyone okay. And then there's the social ones. The ones that I'm, like I said, at the end of the day, don't really matter from a safety perspective, but they are the social lubricant in this machine. They help things go smoothly. If I'm inviting someone into my space as a guest, I want them to feel good. I want them to feel welcome. Exactly how I do that is different depending on who I invite. If I invite my best friend, I've known her since I was 4. She's not my best friend, she's family. So we sit on the couch, we get relaxed, really cozy. I don't put on, as my grandma would say, I don't put on airs. If I'm inviting someone that maybe I don't know them that well, but I know that they are a little bit more elegant than I, I'll bring out the finer china. I'll put out the good box of tea. I'll make sure that the cat hair is off the couch. I'll try to keep the cat out of the couch, but that's not happening. On the rare occasion, if I hypothetically had a rival that I wanted to impress and intimidate, I don't have a lot of them, but if I did, well then, I want them to know that I know how to treat people socially. So I'll break out the really good stuff. I'll make sure they sit at a place of respect in my house. It's a 2-bedroom condo, there's not that many spots, but I'll find the most respectable spot. Everything I'm doing is communicating that I know how to operate in a social setting. And so you can trust me. And you can trust, if I was in ancient times, even medieval times, in Victorian times, that I would not be toyed with, that I could be your friend or I could be your rival. And you want me as a friend who knows all the social graces and not as a rival who knows how to use them to hurt you. Manners indicate intention. They indicate that I want to treat someone with a bit of respect, to understand that they're in my house or that I am theirs as a guest, and therefore treat them with a degree of understanding and dignity. Intentions mean everything. This is especially true in Jesus' time, where there were not a lot of other ways to both indicate who someone is and also how to police someone's behavior. Here in 2025, there's not a huge strata that we're dealing with. There's not a dozen different levels of hierarchy, so I don't worry about that as much. And frankly, if I were to treat someone very poorly, then that person could put me on social media and suddenly everybody and their cousin is emailing me telling me to knock it off. In Jesus' time, they don't have the police per se. They do have lots of laws. They do not have lots of ways to enforce those laws outside of social custom, outside of religious leaders, outside of the few politicians and their guards and their military force, making sure that everyone stays in line. So that is a very big nuclear option for a much smaller problem of someone maybe not giving the right present. So we got to rely on our social stuff. We got to rely on our neighbors, knowing that so-and-so seated someone at the end of the table when they weren't supposed to be there, or introduced someone poorly, or gave the wrong present. Because those are indicators they're not paying attention to society, and therefore indicators that they may not be someone you want to associate with. If they're not paying attention to which seat that they're at, they're not paying attention to taxes. They're not paying attention to their own home. They're not paying attention to whether or not the neighborhood around them is working. They're focused on themselves. This is the prevailing thought. This is the prevailing idea. In short, good manners, especially in the times of Jesus, shows someone that We know the social order. We know how to read the room. We will follow the rules. We will comply. Now, there's details on how we do that. They change over the years. Do I greet someone with a hug or a handshake? Do I open the door for them or let them open the door themselves? Do I serve them? They serve themselves. It changes across cultures, across times. There is no universal way of doing it. So it's interesting to hear Jesus talk about a specific way of doing it. What I'm thinking when I see this reading is, aside from remembering to sit up straighter and tuck my elbows in, I'm remembering that Jesus is asking us to really think about who we are serving when we talk about social graces. Is it ourselves? Is it others? Is it those above me, those beneath me, those beside me? What is the point? Truly, what is the intention? If we are coming in and we are willing to say that these rules need to be questioned a little bit, pushed a little bit, we're going to have a hard time. Even thinking of this being Labor Day weekend, think of all of the labor unions not that long ago that insisted that we should have at most a 5-day work week with reasonable working hours, with limits on child labor, with safety laws, OSHA, coming back in, and being told, know your place. Be grateful you have a job. If you are not grateful enough, and if you're not polite enough, we'll find one for you somewhere else, far away from here. Instead, they said, let's push back together. We need to challenge this together. We need to question together. And so they created new social norms. They created new rules, rules around safety for the sake of the employee, rules around collective organization so that those who used to have least have a little bit more to function, to survive, to thrive. That took a great deal of work. It took questioning the social norms, and they still had to do it without tearing the whole thing down. I think Jesus is asking us to do the same. Often when we come across Christ in the Gospels, we're asked either to do one of two things. One, tear it all down because it's all garbage and it needs to go away. Two, reform. Change it all from within the system. It takes longer, but fewer revolutions, fewer guillotines. We might go home a little bit happier. It takes time. It takes care. It takes knowing what the rules are in order to know how to break them, or for Jesus to know how to use them. When you invite someone into your home that might be marginalized, as Jesus is asking us to do, asking his followers to do, Jesus is saying that that person is no longer marginalized. That person is your equal. You will treat them as such. When Jesus asks us to sit, not at the highest table of honor, but to sit at the lower table or at the lower seat, that's Jesus saying, when you come in, make them see you for what you are, a servant of Christ, maybe an equal, so they must treat you as such. Know the rules to know how to break them. Know the rules of manners and of etiquette in order to challenge them, in order to push us forward. It's why I have very little patience for anyone that comes into a space and says, well, someone's being rude because they're being loud, because they're taking up space. Often the person that's being told they're rude and taking up space is the one that had no voice to begin with. And suddenly taking up any space is too much. So taking up that space, claiming our space as equal, making sure that everyone understands that we are all on an equal plane, That is how we move forward. The nuances that Jesus gives us are a little complicated sometimes, especially when, like I said, back in a day where the manners were about rules of safety. If I need to know that someone is not going to kill me, I need to know that they're going to be polite. And nowadays, frankly, the same rules apply. If I know that someone's going to treat me with dignity, I know they're going to treat someone else with dignity. I know that I can work with them. We might have miscommunication. After all, there's 1,000 cultures. We might have to sort some things out very clearly and plainly, but the intention of love and service above all, that is what helps us move forward. Where the rules around manners are meant to keep societal power in place, keep the status quo, Jesus asks us to challenge that just a little bit, and then a little bit more the next time. Instead of worrying about offending society, focused on our intention to care for everyone, to remind everyone, those who are marginalized, those who may believe that they are above others in status, that we are all the exact same level. This table is round. This table is growing, and everyone is welcome a seat at it. I will never say that it's easy to follow rules like these. I will never say it's easy to challenge them. I will say that we do not have to do it alone. We are doing it with the important reminder of God's love in every act that we do. Whether we challenge the norms or challenge the people who want to keep the norms in place, we are doing it with each other. Where even if we get our wires crossed, we know that the best of intentions can be in there. And feel free to ask. Feel free to say, hey, just checking. What did you mean by that? Just so I understand. We're doing so with the understanding that everyone here is simply trying to do their best to build this kingdom one brick at a time. Whether our elbows are on the table or not, all are welcome to the table. So let's make room and make sure that everyone feels invited. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Rooster Crows Podcast. We at Lawrence Park Community Church are a progressive church in North Toronto. And if you'd like to learn more about our church and the things that we do, check out our YouTube channel, which has recordings of entire services and sermons. And for any more details, go to our website at lawrenceparkchurch.ca. Now, as we finish this podcast, we're going to hear our music director, Dr. Daniel Rubinov, perform Meditation on the Blessed Sacrament on organ. We hope you enjoy and have a wonderful week.